Just a quick comment on Romans and the lesson today. When I read that over this morning, where the says in verse Romans 1:25 that was read in the class this morning, it says to worship the creature and not the creator. And always before, I thought that was meaning worshiping something other than God. And this morning I realized we are worshiping ourselves. It talks about His thoughts and not our thoughts, and our thoughts and our thoughts. So I looked back in one of my sermons a while back. I thought it was supposed to be this way. I think it's this way. I think it's that way. That's when Satan said, you'll become as gods, as he told Eve in the Garden of Eden. You'll become as gods and you'll know right from wrong. You'll know good and evil. And it didn't mean God's good and evil. It meant what I make up in my own mind. And that's what Paul was talking about in Greg's lesson this morning. We all do that. If you think you're not guilty, think again. We all are guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Now, in this one more comment. Seen 95 last week. Did you see that on the sign out there? 95. Little old Drift Run Church. 95. Then I thought, we can't get caught up in numbers. That's great. But that's 95 souls. That's the important thing. It don't matter if we had 10 souls or 100 souls. It's all about souls that need Christ. It's all about souls that need reignited. It's all about souls that need encouraged. And that's why we're here. Not to puff up numbers, not to fill seats, but it's about souls. And if all the seats are full, they're full of souls. That's the important part. So I'm going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. And it'll be familiar to most of you. But let's read it and open your minds right now to focus on the Word of God and not to focus on anything going on around you. Let's focus on the Word of God here this morning, because it's going to pertain to each and every one of our personal lives. Like I say, we all are involved in what's going on in our country today. All of us. It affects all of us. Okay, if y'all would stand as we read Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 11. It says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. They wanted to brag about what they got. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Verse 3, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, what shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to the afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Let us pray. Lord, again, we are just so humbled that your word is open before us. We ask for you to guide with your Holy Spirit that can move upon us. Lord God, the truths of your word, I ask for your guidance in this sermon. I ask for you to get Jamie out of the way. I ask for you to bless every ear that can hear and stir every heart. I pray for those that's here today, those in their cars, and those in their homes. Lord, I ask for a blessing upon them. I pray a special prayer for our pastor today, Lord. I know he'd rather be here. Just bless him as only you can. And again, I ask for you to forgive me. In these favors we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now, I read that to lay out a scenario of the situations we're in today. Because folks, this what I just read is not something that's out there in the future. We're at the doorstep. We're probably even in the door of what Jesus just told his disciples. So he's sharing that with us here today. Man, isn't it awesome that God cared enough to write his word down and inspire his word that we can have it and we can touch it and we can feel it and we can see the power in his word. We can feel the actions of his word. We can see the saving grace of his word. So as we go into this, have you asked yourself, have you asked God, when is the end? I bet we're all guilty of, how's this going to be? I hope it's not for a while, or I hope it's right now, or, you know, we've all asked that. When's this going to be? And this I'm going to talk about three things in the Old Testament. Three guys, Moses, David, and Elijah. And we're going to talk about scenarios and how the situation was handled. So that's the point I'm making right now. We're in a scenario. How's it going to be handled? Okay? God gives us his word to show us how to handle situations just like this. There's nothing going on now that surprised God. There's nothing going on now that God can't handle. And there's nothing going on now that he won't kick you through. Amen. So we're going to see that right here in just a minute. Let's turn to Exodus 14. Debbie says I'm too slow jumping from scripture to scriptures. I need to write them down like Dave does, but I don't know how to do that thing. And it takes me a long time to write it out with that. Okay. Here we're setting a scenario here in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 14. I'm going to read verses 10 and 12. We're setting up a scenario now. Let your imaginations run. This is a truth, but try to imagine in your mind. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because they were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Okay, now imagine the scenario. Here's the Egyptians right here. In this way, they see the Egyptians coming. Oh, goodness, what are we going to do? It's hopeless. But this way's the sea. We can't go that way. We can't get beyond this. We're trapped right in the middle between this and that with no hope. What are we going to do? You should have left us back there. You ever been in that situation? Huh? Yeah, we've all been in that situation. So this is not just a story for our entertainment. This is a story for our teaching, for us to learn how to handle situations, just like we're in today as a nation, like they in the nation of Israel, as a nation of our country. And leading up to that, God had told Moses all this is going on. And why did he tell him? What was the point of putting them people in this hopeless situation? What's the purpose of our country being in what some think is a hopeless situation? Why did he put us there? Why did he allow that? Listen. Verse 13 he says, and Moses said unto people, fear ye not. Stand still. He's talking to us today, folks. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians, whom you have seen today, whom you see today, ye shall see them again no more. For how long? Forever. He's worthy of our praise, folks. He's worthy of every effort that we put out for His service. The Lord shall fight for you and shall hold, and ye shall hold your peace. So what He's telling them Israelites that's just running around like the sky's falling, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Be still and watch the salvation of the Lord. And we all know what happened. I put this under the heading, we're going to talk about physical action for a scenario. We're going to talk about personal action for a scenario. And we're going to talk about spiritual action for a scenario. So the physical action right there was Moses being obedient. You know that's a physical action, is being obedient. It is. And He's telling us that today. We got to be obedient. We got to remain calm. We got to be solid on the Word of God and know that He's going to lead us through this. And what's Moses do? He's obedient and does exactly what God says. Amen. He makes a dry way for him. You believe God's going to make a dry way for you? You believe God could make a dry way for us, this country today? He could. He could. And that was the physical action for that scenario. I'm going to read verses 21 and 22 also. It said, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord, Moses didn't cause it, the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. You've heard the saying, God will make a way. He gives us this scenario to show us. Don't panic. Don't panic. Now that was the physical. We're going to talk about the personal scenario. Now this is going to get down to individuals. Not as the whole nation, but as each one of us. And it's going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to read verses 4 through 10. 1 Samuel 17, verses 4 through 10. It says, and there went out a champion. Now I'm laying out the scenario. Let your imagination go with what's read here. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, who height was 6 cubits and a span. And that means 9 foot 9 inches tall. That's a pretty big dude. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And that's about 125 pounds. He had just in his clothing. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass upon his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear head weighed 600 shekels of iron, which is 20 pounds. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to settle your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, your servant to Saul? Choose you a man. This is where the individuality comes about. Choose you a man. He's talking to the kingdom of Israel. Choose you a man. Let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Okay, you got the scenario in your mind. There's one giant man standing out there, And he's hollering at these people over here. There's hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. And these people over here are soldiers of Israel's army. That's us. That's you. We are of God's people, correct? And they're fearing this one man. Yeah, he's big. Yeah, that looks pretty intimidating. Yeah. I remember in high school, I was in the 9th grade or 10th grade, and we go to Ripley in a wrestling match, and the guy I got to wrestle, he's got a beard. Oh, man, was I intimidated. I think he had a little tattoo right there. I thought, oh, my gosh, I will be. Oh, he had me scared to death. I went out there, and that guy couldn't wrestle a bit. I flopped him around like a fish. But he beat me till the battle started. Yeah. But he didn't know how to wrestle. So, we're the Israelites over here. Keep that in your mind. And there's that giant 9'9" guy carrying 120 pounds of armor and a spear that the head weighs 20 pounds. And he's saying, "Send me a man." You go. You go. You don't go. That's us, folks. That's us. So, here's the action for the scenario. And how David came to be there, he was at the field. His brothers was down there in the army. And his father, Jesse, had told him, said, "Go, take this and this." He named off the food items. He said, "Take these to your brothers and see how they're doing." So when they get there, David's seeing what's going on, and he reads Samuel 17:26. "And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?'" You know, you're in the army of the living God. If you're a born-again Christian this morning, you're right there. That's you. It talks about us so much in the scriptures. It's talking about us in the Old Testament over 2,000 years ago. Beyond Jesus' birth and death, burial, and resurrection, he's talking about you. Amen. Each and every one of us. He's talking to us, folks. He's talking to us. Isn't he worthy of our efforts? Amen. And yet, guilty right here, sometimes still cowering, sitting back here earlier today thinking, man, I'm still afraid to go up there. I still can't imagine Jamie doing that. You can do it. I'm part of God's army. You are too. So, okay, that's David saying right there, who is this Philistine? Who is that guy over there? What's he got against the armies of the living God? What's going on in this world today got going against the armies of the living God? Nothing. You remember when it looked weird when you looked out and people had a mask on? Now it looks weird if you see one without a mask. Okay. 17 verses 45 through 48. Then David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled." This is where it gets personal. It's talking about each one of us right now. How do we respond? Like the shaky, rattling soldiers? With the man that stands with the living God. He says, "This day," David's saying this in the confidence he found in his personal life in God. He says, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." What did he do right there? He told the
giant where he stood. He said, you got all this, but I serve the living God. And I will defeat you because of what? Not because of my armor, because he refused armor. But he couldn't even carry Saul's armor. He went with a humble sling and 5 stones. And he defeated the giant. Folks, that's the personal reaction we have got to make in this scenario we're in today. Are you standing with the living God? Are you dependent upon the living God? Are you confident in the living God? That's where we need to be. Why? How can we be that? Because he showed us all these examples of things that were overcome in the scriptures in times past. These are real events. This is not Aesop's fables. This is true and mighty in the living word of God. If he didn't want us to know it, it wouldn't be in there. It says the books can't contain all that there is about God and about the action and life of Jesus Christ. He had confidence in God, and if you read on, go ahead and study that out. If you read on, he didn't try to sneak around behind him. He didn't try to crawl under. He didn't hide behind a rock and wait. What'd he do? He run right at him. Right at him. And I'm telling us, that's where we're supposed to be today. We're supposed to be going right at it. Man, I see what's going on in this world. Sometimes it gets me a little apprehensive till I get back to studying the Word of God. Till I know that it turns this scenario into, I'm going to watch what God's going to do. It's good to be a Christian today. It's good to know the living God. It's good to stand firm. Depend on the living God. Scenario number 3. 2 Kings 6, 11 through 15. I'm going to set the scenario. 2 Kings 6, 11 through 15. It says, therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and great hosts, and they came by night and compassed the city about. Now, that seems like a scary situation again. But to get us to that point, the king of Syria was trying to attack the Israeli armies, and Elisha knew through revelations from God what their action was going to be, so they were one step ahead of the Syrian army. So the king, he calls his commanders together and says, now which one of you is telling our battle plans? They say, none. It's Elijah. It's the man of God from Israel. Okay, so where they're at now, let's go circle them and see if we can get them. So see the scenario, pretty scary scenario if you look. Therefore he sent thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. They were surrounded by many, many soldiers. And now the action, the spiritual action. And when the servant of the man of God, this was Elijah's servant, was risen early and going forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Have you done that before? Guilty. What am I going to do?
I don't have no money. I can't pay that bill. They're going to come and shut the electric off, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. And I have nowhere to turn. Nothing. The action for the scenario is 16, 17, and 18. And he answered, Elijah answered, telling him, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than that be with them." That's good stuff right there, folks. We look out and it seems like there's thousands to one. And Elijah says, "There's more of us than they are them." Well, Elijah, there's you and me. There's him and her. Can't even think of the name. Laura and Larry. Standing against thousands. And what do they want to do? They want to kill you. They want to destroy you. They want to break you. They want to ruin your family. They want to ruin your life. And all those things that are important to you. That's the scenario. And then the spiritual thing happens. And what did Elijah do? He prayed. Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes. Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. Pray, folks. Pray. He talked this morning. We have no excuse. The Bible says there's all kinds of evidence.
Amen.
Look out there. And that's what we can see. He just revealed spiritually what we don't see. There is more of us than them. You're not alone.
Amen.
You're not alone. You ever feel alone? Sure you have. I've experienced feeling alone sitting right here in a church this size. So you know what's going on there. It's a feeling that we're born with. I thought about that when you was talking about that. We have fear, physical feelings, personal feelings. But they're different than the spiritual feelings. And, you know, you're created with a void in your life. When you hit the age of accountability, there's a void there that only God can fill. That's that spirit. So, Elijah prayed to God and overcome that scenario. I'm trying to strengthen your hope, trying to build your confidence. Let the Word of God speak to you this morning. That's where we got to stand firm on, folks. That's where we got to be. Tony, you and Blynn want to come get a song? I hope that stirred your heart this morning. I mean, really, that's a confidence building sermon right there. Stand and praise the Lord right now. Worship Him in song, in spirit, and in truth. He alone is worthy.